Begin transmission.
Well, good morning, or good afternoon, or whatever. It's 19:30. UTC, and it is time for another exciting episode of the Dubious Bathtub Committee. My name's Tobe. I'm the chairman of this bathtub, and I've called a quorum in the bathtub, and so that's where we are, and that's what we're doing. Turn off the water there, and then, okay, okay. I'm coming around, kind of, but this is sort of a mistake. I got all kinds of problems today. Where am I going with this? Oh, yeah. You know, whenever we have the change to and or from daylight savings time, it always messes me up. And I try to anticipate it every year, and I try to compensate for the time change. But I don't know, it still got to me again this year. What happens is, you know, it screws my sleep schedule up, and I end up staying up too late, and then I try to sleep and I don't sleep right, and that affects me for a few days, and this then in turn leads to other problems. My sleep schedule gets messed up, and so I end up staying awake too long, and then when I sleep too long, and when I sleep too long, then I have muscle spasms. It's really bizarre. Oh, and when I woke up this morning, I think I was awakened by muscle spasms and weirdness, and so I was still really tired, and I was trying to go back to sleep, but that really wasn't working out for me, and so I laid there for a while, trying to get my back to calm down, trying not to twist or turn or stretch or do anything. And after a while, I realized, oh, there's no getting around it. So I got up and managed to put my back brace on without, you know, causing any more problems. Then I took a whole bunch of Advil and I took some Tylenol. And that was about an hour ago, and I think I'm feeling a little bit better. I obviously have to get into the bathtub, try to relax, try to get my muscles to calm down, and so here we are in the tub once again. I don't know how cold it got last night, overnight, but my house is a little cool today. I'm still trying to put off turning on the heat as long as possible, but the stupidity of all of this is that if I turn the heat on and keep my back warm overnight, I won't wake up with these problems. Too bad. Heat costs money, so I gotta try to keep it as cold as possible without losing back integrity. But anyway, I was thinking about going out today, and when I looked out at my thermometer shortly after I got up, it wasn't even 50 degrees. It's all overcast and everything. And then a few minutes ago, when I thought, oh, I'm starting to feel a little bit better, I thought, oh, if I just go out and walk around for a while, surely I'll be okay. And I looked outside again, and it was raining. So I've got rain today, and cold temperatures. Not cold, but cool enough that I gotta be careful in this transitional time. Stupid thing about this is, yeah, it's only like 50 degrees, but in another month, 50 degrees will not bother me as much. It won't. Once I get used to it, I won't have nearly the problems. And now, guess what I just heard? There is somebody outside the bathroom door saying, meow, oh, where did you go? What are you doing? Meow, I'm the kitty. So yeah, there's kitties out there, or at least one kitty, thinking that she needs to come in here. But that's not the best of ideas, at least not today. I can barely think. I can barely concentrate. I was gonna do some stuff today, but I'm not sure how productive I'm gonna be. I don't even remember what it was that I was gonna do. As soon as I woke up, all the plans were put off. And when I woke up, I grabbed my remote control and I started checking my various sports channels to see if any football was on, because my football highlight show was supposed to be on last night at midnight or 11:30. But something live ran late, and so everything got screwed up, and I kept checking for my highlight show at midnight and at 1 and at 2. I don't remember if I checked at 3 or not, or that was about when I was trying to go to sleep. And no highlights. Oh, I was so mad. Plus, also, match of the week was supposed to be on, and nothing. So when I woke up this morning, I thought, oh, I better check, because sometimes they run that stuff real early, too, just so they can dump it off and say, yeah, we ran it. But no, to no avail, I found no football. What I did find, however, was the movie Troy, starring Brad Pitt and, what's his name? Legolas, Will Turner. What's his name? Oliver Reed? No. Orlando Bloom. Yeah, he's all right. And he, of course, plays Paris, one of my favorite heroes of antiquity. Only because, well, I don't know, you've heard me probably rant about it before, but the funny thing about this movie Troy is I don't want to see the movie Troy. I want to see everything that led up to it. I want to see the judgment of Paris. That's probably my favorite, you know, Greek mythology story. And, you know, I was thinking maybe I would recount it for you at this time, but oh man, no, I don't really feel like it. I'm sorry. It seems like I've done this before anyway. I can't remember. You know, when you're on your 418th show or whatever show this is, you can't remember what you've talked about before. You can't remember what you did 300 shows ago. So I don't know if I've got anything at all for you today. I guess I could explain that the one thing that I like about the whole Paris story and the judgment of Paris isn't just the judgment of Paris. It's actually the events that lead up to that event. And I might as well explain a little bit of it. My whole fascination with this story revolves around the golden apple of discord. And this is an apple from the garden of I can't even think right now. The garden of the, I don't know, is it the Hesperides? I don't remember. Basically, this is how it all goes down. Two of the gods are getting married. I forget who. The parents of Mercury / Achilles. I don't remember. Anyway, they're getting married. They get married and there's a big party. And all the gods and demigods and all the cool people are all invited to the party. Except for Eris, the goddess of discord. And she's not invited because, well, she's the goddess of discord. And she's just going to cause trouble and discord and strife at this, what would normally be a happy occasion. So she's not invited. And she takes this as a great insult. And she hatches a little plan. And this is the part that I love. You know, any plan by the goddess of chaos is just going to turn out to be super fun for your little toadster. And so what does she do? She goes to the garden and gets one of the golden apples. And these golden apples are very magic, and I don't remember what they do. I think they grant immortality. Which doesn't make sense because all the gods are immortal to begin with. Why would she use this as a temptation? But anyway, she goes and she gets one of these golden apples that are very magical and very desirable. And she stands outside the party, and onto the apple she writes, "For the prettiest one." And then she takes the apple and she throws it into the party, laughing her ass off, and she takes off. And so this golden apple rolls into the party, and everybody's wondering, hey, what's this all about? Somebody checks it out and it says, hey, it says that it's for the prettiest one. And so all the chicks start fighting over it. Discord, chaos, anarchy at the big wedding party. And then the fight basically boils down to three of your major Greek goddesses. Let's see, it's Hera, Aphrodite, and I don't know who else. I can barely think. I'm not doing so great. And the fight basically turns into a draw. It's a three-way tie. And so they turn to Zeus and they say, well, you need to solve this little problem here and decide who this apple is for, who the prettiest one is. And he realizes that he can't be an impartial judge, being as he's married to one of the women who is fighting over this stupid thing. And so, being as he realizes he cannot be impartial, he needs to choose somebody else to make this judgment for him. And yes, of course, he chooses Paris. And the only reason he chooses Paris is that he had some dealings with Paris before, specifically a bullfight between himself when he turned into a bull and Paris's bull. Paris's bull lost, and instead of complaining about it or being a little bitch, Paris was a man and said, yep, this bull is stronger than mine. And so, well, our boy Zeus, he knew that Paris was honest and impartial. And so he sets the task to Paris to judge which of these three women are the most beautiful. And that's how we come to the judgment of Paris. And then the judgment of Paris starts off the Trojan War. Oh, maybe I should read the Iliad again. You know, I don't even think I have a copy of it. I'll have to, well, I was going to say I have to go to a bookstore, but no. Can't do that. Maybe I'll go to a used bookstore. I don't know. How badly do I need to reread this? I don't know. I should check it out, though. I haven't read any of that stuff in forever. So maybe I should. You know, the funny thing is that I never was really into Greek mythology when I was a kid. I was big into other mythologies, hugely so. You know, who doesn't love heroes and monsters and all that kind of stuff? But for me, the funny thing is when I was a kid, and I read a lot, and I read a lot of stuff that was above my pay grade, meaning I read a lot of adult books when I was a child. And that's where I was picking up some of this cool mythology and all this stuff that I liked so much. And I didn't like Greek mythology because it was so baby. It was for little kids. You know, it was all these stupid little stories that were barely more anything more than fairy tales. They were just really flaky. And there was no sex. There was no violence. There was absolutely nothing interesting going on at all in Greek mythology. Now, later in life, I realized that this is not, in fact, the case. Greek mythology is chock full of crazy sex, drugs, rock and roll, violence, everything. It's just that all of the stuff that was for, that, you know, was written in books for kids was tamed down. It was censored and bowdlerized and made stupid. And so, you know, when I was a kid, teachers would find out that, oh, I like mythology and stuff like that. They would hand me these, you know, golden book of Greek mythology. Said, hey, do you like Greek mythology? No, I hate that crap. Well, yeah, that's because these books were written for 5-year-olds or, you know, for 12-year-olds if you're of average intelligence. And so I did not get into Greek mythology at all until I was in college. And, you know, then, and even then I didn't want to, you know. It's like, oh, I don't want to read this. Basically, my entrance vector for Greek mythology was Greek theater. I started studying theater in college. And, of course, you know, you're going to have to cover a lot of the history of theater. And so you're going to go all the way back to the Greeks. And when I started having to read Greek plays, I was like, oh, no, I don't want to read this stupid, puerile crap. Because, you know, my experience as a child was, these are just baby stories. These are nursery rhymes. This is crap. But no, I started reading some of these plays, and it's like, oh, all right, okay, these are pretty good. These are all full of vengeance and hatred and sex, drugs, rock and roll, all the things that I love. And so then once I started reading Greek plays, then I wanted to get into the more hardcore stuff. And of course, then you got to start reading the Iliad. Read your Homer. He's pretty rad. So maybe I should pick some of that up again. Just, you know, get that all refreshed in my brain, all those fun stories. And that's what I want to see a movie of. I don't want to see Troy. I want to see a movie of the goddess of discord throwing the golden apple into the wedding party. I want to see the judgment of Paris. I want to see the three hot naked chicks. I want to see... They make the movies out of the wrong stories. I don't know what anybody's thinking. But that's what other people want. That's what the common person wants. They want to see huge computer-generated armies marching around and clashing. They want to see 50,000 hoplites converging on Troy. What's a hoplite, you ask? Well, is it my place to tell you? Probably not. You can look it up. Because I want to talk about another movie that I saw for 10 minutes last night. It's a movie called Pirate Radio, which you would think I would be very interested in. But I tried to watch it and I was not. It's not really about pirate radio so much as it is about a bunch of people doing stuff to a 60s soundtrack. And the irony is, this contained a lot of my favorite British actors. Bill Nighy. Oh, and he just got to wear all the coolest suits. And Rhys Ifans, Nick Frost, and that one guy whose name I can never, ever think of. And there's a couple other people who were pretty good. But I couldn't really watch the movie. I tried. There was no technical information. There was no law skirting. Well, there sort of was, but kind of not really. And it was kind of boring. But I probably am going to have to watch the movie again. It's making its rounds on all of the basic cable channels, so I'll have plenty of chances to see it again. Kenneth Branagh is also in it, and he plays the uptight government official. And the parts that I saw of him were so funny. He was so good that his performance alone merits watching this film, in my opinion. So, being as I have a feeling I'm going to be down all day, and I'm going to be laying around on the floor all day due to my back, I'll have to flip through the channels and see if that's on, and maybe I'll try to watch it from beginning to end, just so I can watch our boy Kenneth Branagh, because he's actually pretty good. That's the other weird thing. I didn't know you could have a movie with Nick Frost in it without also having Simon Pegg in it. And how come they couldn't get Stephen Fry or Hugh Laurie? Those guys are getting too recognizable. Just kind of like Jonathan Pryce. Boy, Jonathan Pryce is getting overused in everything these days. Yeah, speaking of Hugh Laurie, I think I saw Jonathan Pryce on an episode of House last week. You know, it just occurred to me, that same channel that runs the House marathons on Tuesdays is the same channel that I saw the Pirate Radio movie on. Huh. It's the pseudo-British network. And I wish I had a British network. BBC America, which I don't get. You have to have the phone company's TV to get BBC America. Guess what they have now? There is a new series on BBC America based on a Douglas Adams work. That is right. It is Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. And I don't know. I'm kind of afraid to watch it anyway. You know, I think Douglas Adams has run his course. I mean, geez, that book is what, 30 years old now? Where are we gonna go with Dirk Gently? The book is kind of dated. You know, if you read the book now, it just doesn't quite fly. So anyway, yeah, I've even gotten messages from people. Oh, guess what? BBC America's got Dirk Gently, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I guess I'm over it. But speaking of Douglas Adams, you know, he did write a few episodes of Doctor Who, too. I was watching Doctor Who over the weekend on the Iowa Public Television Station. And the reason I'm watching it is because they're showing all the Tom Baker episodes in chronological order. I saw the first Tom Baker one a couple weeks ago, months ago, whatever. But guess what I saw the other night? The first Leela episode. Yeah, it was like the Leela origin story. And it was awesome. I was very pleased. Because I sure like her a lot better than Sarah Jane. Sarah was just, prissy and stupid and doo-doo-doo. Leela, she's a warrior chick with sexy legs and showing some cleavage. That, you know, Doctor Who sex appeal. Woohoo! So I actually enjoyed watching that quite a bit. And I don't mean just for her hotness. Not for her, that 1975 British hotness. But just because I don't think I'd ever seen the origin story of her before. So, that was cool. I like Doctor Who. It's fun. It's cheesy. It's a good old time. And then, when I was driving around the other day, speaking of Doctor Who, I was driving on North 108th Street, and I saw that TARDIS again. And I thought, you know, I really need to get some pictures of that. And I really should get pictures of that before the weather gets bad and it gets covered up with snow. And I've mentioned this before, there are some people who have a TARDIS in their backyard. A broken TARDIS, just like the doctor's. Stuck in that police box form. And they must be, you know, science fiction nuts who go to conventions and probably take that thing with them. And one of these days, I'm probably going to have to go up to their house and knock on the door and say, "Excuse me, hi, my name is Tobe. I notice you have a TARDIS on your patio. Can I take a picture? Why do you need a picture of our TARDIS?" "Oh, no reason. Just to prove that it's there, because nobody believes me. Who am I, you might ask? Well, my name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee.